Translation. It does not matter that you are in the material world. You should always continuously hear the instruction and the messages given by me and always be absorbed in thought of me. For I am the super soul existing in the core of everyone's heart. Therefore, give up fruitive activities and worship me. Purport. When a devotee becomes materially very opulent, one should not think that he is enjoying the results of his fruitive activities. A devotee in this material world uses all material opulences for the service of the Lord, because he is planning how to serve the Lord with these opulences, as advised by the Lord himself. Whatever material opulence is within his possessions, he is engaged to expand the glories and the service of the Lord. A devotee never performs any fruitive or ritualistic ceremony to enjoy the results of such karma. Rather, a devotee knows that karma kanda is meant for less intelligent men. Narottam Das Thakur says in his Prema Bhakti Chandrika, Karma kanda, jnana kanda, kevala vishvesha badu. Both karma kanda and jnana kanda, fruitive activities and speculation by the Supreme Lord, are like the pots of poison. One who is attracted to the karma kanda or jnana kanda spoils his existence as a human being. Therefore, a devotee is never interested in karma kanda or jnana kanda, but is simply interested in favorable service to the Lord. Anukulena Krishnana Shilanam, or cultivation of spiritual activities in devotional service. It does not matter that you are in the material world, you should always continuously hear the instructions and the messages given by me and always be absorbed in thought of me. For I am the super soul existing in the core of everyone's heart. Therefore, give up your fruitive activities and worship me. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnanam Jnana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militan Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisaisa Sunyavadi Paschachade Sacharine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So taking the permission from all the devotees, the senior devotees, I can say a little bit. Vanchakalpa tribhyascha kripa sindubhyaiva cha patito nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So today is the appearance of Radha Kund. So I was thinking maybe you can divide the class in two. I can speak a little bit about the verse, and the last 10 minutes or so we can talk about Radha Kund. Then at about 8:30, then those who want to stay, we have some very nice verses by Raghunath Das Goswami glorifying Radha Kund. Those who want to go for breakfast can go for breakfast, depending what your attraction is. So once Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was in his room, and he heard some devotees arguing, shouting and screaming at each other. And he was wondering why the devotees were arguing. So then he went to find out where the arguing was coming from, and he went to the ashram. And he opened the door and he found two brahmacharis. They were arguing and shouting at each other. And as Bhaktisiddhanta opened the door, they were arguing. Then at the corner of their eye, they saw their own spiritual master standing there. And immediately they felt very, very embarrassed that they were arguing, and Bhaktisiddhanta came over there Immediately they offered obeisances and they felt very, very embarrassed. And Bhaktisiddhanta looked at his disciples and he said, "Actually, it is not your fault. It is my fault. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has stated that we should be tyagis. We should be renounced. We should not have material opulences." The general mood of Lord Chaitanya's disciples was that we don't have opulences. They never lived in temples. They lived very, very simply. But Bhaktisiddhanta, he created the Gaudiya Math and we had the temples, and then he put the devotees, and then in doing so, naturally, opulence was there. And here it is stated that when we perform devotional service, opulence is going to come naturally. And according to how we see these opulences, we can get carried away or we can use it in the service of the Lord. Opulence is a very, very powerful being. It can very, very, very easily draw you away from the actual goal of Krishna consciousness. We know the famous story. Bhaktisiddhanta said to our Srila Prabhupada, Agun Jwalbi, when they had that big temple in Calcutta, it was very, very opulent for that standard in the 30s. The Calcutta temple was very, very opulent and was the envy of many, many other institutions. But unfortunately, as the story, as history goes, the disciples were fighting amongst themselves because of these opulences, because of that great wealth. And Bhaktisiddhanta was saying to Srila Prabhupada, it's better we had that simple little place in Altadunga where the rent was very simple and we lived very simple. But since this big opulent place came, there's been nothing but trouble and quarreling amongst my disciples. So we have to be very, very careful about opulence. It can so easily stray us away. We might have the best intentions. We might have the best ideas to want to use material opulences. But if we're not fixed up, if we don't use it properly, then it's very, very easy to get strayed away. Once some devotees, they were doing door-to-door, and we were knocking on different devotees, different houses, and this Indian gentleman, he let the devotees in. So then we were preaching, trying to make them into life members. And at the corner, there was the grandfather. He was playing or gambling pools. I don't know if they have that pools. And you have like a football team, and then you have to mark X where you think the football is. I don't know if they still have that or not. But in the 80s, they had this like pools. Now they have this lotto kind of thing. So he was trying to find the X point to find out where the ball was. And then if he got it right, then he would win huge amounts of money. So then the devotee said to him, "We don't usually gamble. It's not good to gamble, waste away your money like that. It's your hard-earned money. Better you can use it for Krishna or something like that." And then the gentleman was saying, "Well, I'll tell you what. I'll do this pool. But in return, if Krishna lets me win the pool, I will give you half the amount of money. How about that? That's a good deal, isn't it? So if I do this pool, if I win the money, I will give you half the amount." So then the devotee said, "Okay, well, sounds like a fair deal." So then he did the pool, send it off, and lo and behold, can you believe it? he won £500,000. In the 80s, £500,000 is a lot of money. He won £500,000. So probably in these days, it's probably worth at least maybe £4 or 5 million. Of course, somehow the devotees, I don't know how, but they are very good, you know, sense of finding these things out. They found out that this person won £500,000. And before you know it, they were knocking on this person's house. And then the famous curtain opened. Oh no, Hari Ram, Hari Krishna people are here. Isn't it? Who's had that experience? When you knock and then the curtain opens, Hari Krishna, Hari Ram, and then they shout, no one's in. I mean, I've had that countless of time. Anyway, so then the person, you know, they didn't really want to let the devotees in. And then they let the, eventually the devotees in. It's a true story. I'm not making it up. And then they invited the devotees a little bit reluctantly. And then we started talking a little bit. And then eventually we came to the subject and said, we heard you won that pool. Is that correct? And the guy said, yes. And he says, now, do you remember that kind of promise you made that if you won that money, you would give half of it to Krishna? And in the 80s, the devotees, the money wasn't always easy to come by. Devotees were quite struggling. So then he said, did I really say that? He said, yeah, you did. You said that, you know, you're going to do this if you give half of it to Krishna. And then he started to kind of wheel his way out, worm his way out. It was like a slippery soap. It's hard to catch him, pin him down, you know. And eventually, he said, we cannot give, you know. We have too many this, too many that. He said, we cannot give. Then obviously devotees tried to preach to him. And then they didn't really want to give anything. And in the end, he just gave 250, which was like peanuts, like a, you know, here's 250, get out, you know. So the idea is that material opulences can so easily just cover you up. So, but here it's explained that we have to understand that we shouldn't be interested in this karma kanda, which draws you away from the real purpose of life, which is to serve Krishna. And when you perform karma kanda, you will get your material things, you will get your different material opulences, especially if you worship the demigods. But this is not the real goal of life. Here it's explained, the real goal of life is to worship Krishna. Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Because the demigods, they can easily give you whatever you want. Once when we were in Leicester, we were preaching over there, and we were speaking to one gentleman, and this gentleman, again, we were trying to make him a life member, and he wasn't very, very interested. He was quite distracted. Then we spoke to him, what's your problem? He said, I'm very, very attracted, besotted by this one particular woman, and I wanted to have her as my wife. But the odds are against me. She's like of a different caste. She's like different family. The chances of me asking her and to marry her are next to impossible. So then he said that he started worshipping Lord Shiva for 6 hours a day. So before work, 3 hours a day, he would worship Lord Shiva. And then after work, he would come back about 6, 7 o'clock and worship another 3 hours to Lord Shiva. And the idea was that he was worshipping Lord Shiva and get the benediction that he could get married to this woman. And eventually, after a month or so, after performing all these different austerities, putting everything on the side. I don't know how, but karmically things started working out that he could actually get married to this woman, and things were going his way. So it turned out that eventually he did get married to this person. But his vow was that he would worship Lord Shiva for the rest of his life if he got this woman. And now he was in a predicament that he got up early, he would worship Lord Shiva, go to work, come back, worship Lord Shiva, 10 o'clock, but he had no time to spend with his wife. So even though he got whatever he wanted, still at the end of the day, he was still caught up. He couldn't enjoy the fruits of his kind of whatever he wanted. But for devotees, we're not interested in these kind of things. Mukti, liberation, opulences, they fold their hands to the devotees who serve Lord Krishna. So the idea is that we're not interested in worshipping to get something opulent for us. We're not interested in getting anything for us. If something comes our way, then we'll accept it. Once Bhavananda was asking Srila Prabhupada that we want to create a big business so that we can try and use the opulences for the service of Krishna. And Prabhupada said, no, we don't want this. He says, if it'll come naturally, then we'll accept it. But we will not make any separate endeavors for material opulences. And we have seen in the past when devotees have done that, they've gambled away Krishna's money, then they've lost it. So if it's to be, it'll come your way. If it's not to be, then we accept whatever we have in the service of the Lord. So we'll just speak a little bit about Radhakund. Radhakund, I think a lot of you have been there. Anyone who's not been to Radhakund? So today is the appearance of Radhakund, which is very, very dear to Lord Krishna. It is the personal bathing kund of Srimati Radhika. And the story goes that when Lord Krishna, he killed the demon Aristrasura, after killing the demon, Krishna wanted to associate with the gopis, with Srimati Radharani. But Radharani said, I don't want to be with you, Krishna, because you are an offender, because you killed a bull. The cow and the bull are considered sacred in the Vedic culture. It is said that if you kill a cow, if you kill a bull, it is considered a very grave sin. In fact, it is said that when you kill a cow or a bull, you will have to take birth for every single hair which is on the cow and the bull. That is the amount of time you have to take birth. So it's a very, very grave offense to kill a cow or a bull. So even though the demon Aristrasura was a bull, a demon, still Radharani was saying that is an offense. And if you want to be with me, if you want to associate with me, then you have to go to the holy places and bathe and purify yourself. So if you go and bathe in these holy rivers, then you can purify yourself from this sinful activity of killing the bull. Krishna did not want to be separated from Srimati Radharani. He wanted to be with her. So then he was thinking, I don't want to travel to the different places. I will invite all the rivers, all the holy places here. So with his heel, He punched a hole by the foot of Govardhan, and he invited all the different holy Tirtha waters to come over, and Krishna bathed in there, and thus he purified himself seemingly, and then he approached Srimati Radharani. He said, I've done your bidding, I've bathed in the holy rivers. And then Radharani, she felt that she also wanted to have her own bathing place. She also wanted to have a kund. Krishna's was called Shama Kund. Then Srimati Radharani wanted her own. So then she got all her gopi friends together. They got the bangles, and they broke the bangles, and they started digging and digging and digging and wanting the holy rivers to come. No matter how much they dug and dug, still the water wasn't coming. And Krishna was there with the gopas, and he was laughing away. And Srimati Radharani and the gopis were getting very, very frustrated. Then finally they formed a little chain, and from Manasi Ganga they got all the water, and they started filling the hole that they made. So in this way, with the help of all the gopis, with the help by forming this chain, they got all the water from Manasi Ganga, and they filled up the little kund. And this became known as Radha Kund. So on this day, this is when this particular leela, this pastime happens. And generally by the time the water all filled and everything like that, it was around midnight. And the devotees, they usually go at midnight. And that's when they usually take their dip, they bath in Radha Kund. So today, Indian time, midnight. I don't know if anyone's been there. Anyone? You've probably been there, right? It's quite chaotic. There's tons and tons and tons of people. And there's so many people, you can't hardly, like, you know, you just stand there. You don't even have to move. The people just move you slowly, slowly to Radha Kund, you know? And then by taking bath in there, the holy waters of Radha Kund is considered the most spiritual of all spiritual places. It is crème de la crème. It is the highest spiritual tirtha in this material creation. It is explained there in the Nectar of Instruction. When the devotees first went to India, when they went to Radha Kund, they started using it like a swimming pool. They jumped there, they started doing flips and somersaults and swimming it. And they thought, you know, it's quite a nice swimming pool. When Srila Prabhupada heard about it, he was very, very annoyed. He said that you should not bathe in there because it's a very, very holy place. He said you should take 3 drops and place it on your head, because there's a certain mood you have to enter Radha Kund. You're not even supposed to even enter with your feet first. You're supposed to enter like a dandavat, crawl your way in head first and come out like that, because it is an offense to go with your feet first to Radha Kund. So you have to kind of crawl your way in through your head. So then it kind of became a little kind of a policy that devotees shouldn't really, really bathe in Radha Kund, because they were using it as a frivolity kind of a place. But then eventually, you know, devotees did start to kind of bathe in Radha Kund. But when you bathe in there, you got to have the most utter respect for Srimati Radharani. And then you can bathe, take 3 dips, and then you can leave. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he has written some very, very nice verses explaining the glories of Radha Kund. So I will read this. May very fragrant Radha Kund, which prodded by the gopis many joking words after Vrishabha's death, the king of Vrindavan forest, happily built and filled with his own hand by my shelter. May very dear and fragrant Radha Kund, which for one who bathes in it immediately creates the land of the heart, a desire tree of pure love, rare even among the gopi beloveds of Krishna in Vraja, be my shelter. So it is explained that when you go in Radha Kund, when you take bath in that holy water, then your Bhakti Lata beach gets nourished like no other. The idea is that our Bhakti Lata beach, our devotional creeper, we try and nourish it by Sharvanam Kirtanam, by performing devotional service. But when you take bath in Radha Kund, this very act nourishes your Bhakti Lata beach. May very dear and fragrant Radha Kund, where yearning to attain the merciful sidelong glance of his queen, Lord Krishna diligently follows her bathing attendants, be my shelter. So the idea is that we want to serve Krishna and to get the attention of Krishna can only be possible by serving Srimati Radharani. Prabhupada wrote a Vyasa Puja homage to Bhaktisiddhanta, an address to his god brothers, and he said that only if you get the mercy of Srimati Radharani will you get the mercy of Krishna. And in fact, Bhaktisiddhanta, his mood was that we're actually only interested in Krishna because Krishna wants Srimati Radharani. Our connection to Krishna is through Srimati Radharani. We're only interested in Krishna because Srimati Radharani is interested in Krishna because of that connection. Other devotees are interested in Krishna and the connection, they try the other way. Because Krishna is attracted to Radharani, but the mood of Bhaktisiddhanta is that we are attracted to Radharani and because of that, we are attracted to Krishna. May very fragrant Radha Kund, which is named after a girl who is the realm of love, he who is the moon of Raja, a girl who is like the most precious jewel in the crown, sweet girls of Raja, be my shelter. So we know the many, many gopis that Krishna has. But the topmost is Srimati Radhika. And even in the rasa dance, when Krishna was with all the different other gopis, still, even though he was enjoying that rasa dance, he wanted to have an intimate solo relationship with Radharani, and he left the rasa dance just to be with Srimati Radharani. The mercy obtained by serving Radha Kund makes the celestial vine of pure love for the Prince of Raja, which is famous for bearing flowers of service to my queen, sprout. May that very fragrant Radha Kund be my shelter. May the very fragrant Radha Kund on the shores which are splendid and charming forest groves filled with the sweet sounds of bumblebees and each named after one of Radha Rani's friends be my shelter. If you happen to go to Radha Kund when it's not busy, when it's relatively peaceful, it's a very, very attractive place. You can just sit there, you can just chant there, you can hear the nice sounds of Vrindavan. And peacefully, if you chant there, you can feel the emotions of the chanting. You can feel the emotions of Krishna consciousness. And materially even Radhakund is very, very, very attractive place. May the very fragrant Radhakund, on the shore of which in a pleasant courtyard Queen Radha and her friends sweetly joke with Lord Krishna, the moon of Raja, be my shelter. So once Radhakund and Shyamakund were there, when they appeared, it was one of the central focal points for Radha and Krishna to meet. Constantly they would meet over there. They would bathe in there. They would enjoy different water sports. And they would converse in having laughter. May the very fragrant Radhakund, where the passionate divine couple daily place their passionate friends in the charming lotus sacred scented water, be my shelter. To one who is completely dedicated to Queen Radha's service, who happily reads these eight beautiful verses describing her lake, even in this present body, Lord Krishna shows his beloved as he happily embraces her. So if you get a chance today, if you can read these verses, if you meditate on Radhakund, then we will get the favor of Krishna. And maybe some of you, I don't know, some people have some Radhakund, then you can take a few drops on your head today. And in this way, you can get the mercy of Radharani and Krishna. Okay, so we'll stop over here. Is there any questions or comments anybody wants to ask?